soigner. On est incapable de mettre nos enfants à l'école. On est incapable d'avoir à manger. C'est exactement ça. C'est un paradoxe historique. Et personne ne peut corriger ça, ce n'est pas nous. Et c'est notre union qui va combattre ça.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, Independent Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh. We also stream online at cjsf.ca and listen to podcasts of our programs and our website.
Today on Wings, a program from Galway, Ireland, Radio Pirate Woman Margareta Darcy brings us up to date on the shocking saga of the more than 30,000 Irish women who were enslaved in the Catholic-run Magdalen laundries. On February 20, 2013, the Irish Prime Minister issued an apology for the government's role in assigning women to this fate.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
For 17 years I've been scrubbing this washboard ever since the fellas started in after me. My mother, poor soul, didn't know what to do. The canon said, child, there's a place for you. Now I'm serving my time at the Magdalen Laundry. I'm towing the line at the Magdalen Laundry. There's girls from the country, girls from the town. Their bony white elbows going up and down. And the Reverend Mother, as she glides through the place, a tight little smile on the side of her face. She's running the show at the Magdalen Laundry.
So that was Mary Coughlin, who's a good friend of mine and was sitting in a house. Mary Coughlin was one of these wayward women who was put away into an institution. This is Radio Part Woman from Galway in Ireland, reporting on the disclosure of how thousands of women were incarcerated by the state from the year 1922 to 1996 in laundries run by four orders of nuns. The United Nations Committee stated that the Irish state was complicit in the incarceration of women and girls in the laundries where the women worked without pay. It also said that the state dealt commercially with the laundries without inspecting them. It has taken 20 years for the Irish state to admit their complicity. I'm now just going to play our Prime Minister last Tuesday when he apologised to the women.
When the dark midnight is over, watch for the breaking of day. Let me hope that this day, heralds a new dawn for all those who feared that the dark midnight might never end.
I don't think I can find the right words for it. It was like if something was given back to you that was taken from you all them years ago. Our identity was taken from us. The stigma of, oh, there were prostitutes, there were thieves. I mean, I was 12 years of age. I didn't know what a prostitute was till I was 18 years of age in London. I think he gave us back our dignity and our lives last night. We were all very emotional. It was, you know, I'm talking to a woman here this morning. I had breakfast with her, and she's 76 years of age, and I said to her, eat up your breakfast before it gets cold. And she says, I used them to eat, she says, for what was done to me years ago. I'd always get the flashbacks. But she said, this morning, I'm not eating, she says, because I'm so happy. I mean, It's just, I can't find words for what that minister done last night.
Well, when I looked at him, oh my God, my whole inside melted. And I just got so emotionally felt for it. I could say, oh my God, you know, the apology was well waited for it. And it was so sincere. And I'm sure the people of Ireland would be so proud of Eddie Kenny at the moment, because I am, you know, because I have rung the dolls, and Eamon Gilmore said he would want to meet the Magdalen women. He has not responded to my calls. I've rung him, he sent an email, and he's got no response back to meet them. But I'm sure now I've rung Eddie Kenny's office this morning, so I wonder, will Eddie meet me to give my side of the story? But I just think it was really, really, I'm sure every woman, Magdalen woman, was proud to watch the news last night.
It was a most fantastic evening. I'm still smiling. I'm still feeling tall and walking tall on her behalf, as is my sister and hopefully Margaret's other daughter, who we've never met, who happened to celebrate her 38th birthday yesterday, just as a coincidence. So I was invited to the ball, and I was very, very grateful for that invitation, but it's been a very, very busy couple of weeks. I really wanted to let it sink in and enjoy it in the privacy of my own home with my husband and children, and be in touch with my sister in New York and my newfound aunt Margaret's sister in Las Vegas. So that was my reason for not going, nothing else. Margaret's name was read out on a roll of people who were remembered at the vigil outside Leinster House before the debate and the statement. And I found it very emotional to hear from the Justice for Magdalen's group that her name was going to be called out before a minute's silence. And that's when my emotions started yesterday, to be honest. And when my sister found that out in New York when I called her, we were just brokenhearted and proud at the same time. But my sister called me just after the speech started in New York. And she just said, this sounds like Barack Obama. This is just something else. It was beyond all our expectations, and as I said to you online last night, I said on Twitter, yesterday was one of the first times in years, and I mean years, that I allowed myself to weep for Margaret, because I've tried to stay strong and be a strong campaigner and a voice for Margaret from beyond the grave, and I was able to let some of that go yesterday. I was able to let it all go, actually, and I feel so unburdened and so happy.
I'd be from Dublin. Yeah, I know a lot of women that was from the Magdalen. And I got loads of calls, and the women were so overjoyed that we kept in contact with. Oh, they were just screaming on the phone that they couldn't believe that Eddie Kenny was after giving them that recognition. And to be believed was the important bit. Because no one believed it. I have said it to umpteen TDs years ago. And no one believed me. And I felt as though it was just an award of my own, that this all happened to me and others, and nobody cared. And I just was so disheartened. And I would really like to thank the Justice of Magdalen's for all the hard work they put in. They just had good faith in the women. They believed the women, the Justice of Magdalen's. And I had, when you've been abused like that and no one believes you, you think no one wants to believe you. And you've no faith in anybody. And you just go on, and you're just... And could I just say something there, too? They're on about the abuse in the Magdalen, but also the TDs need to remember, there was also abuse when you left the Magdalen laundry. You know, it carried out... They actually brought... kept, when the fear of God in you, when you were leaving, they used to say to any girl, when you go out, you won't do wrong, or you'll be back in here for life, which was all people hid. I hid for 2-3 years so nobody could find me, because the fear of God was in me, so I wouldn't go back to them Magdalens again. It's just, it was just unbelievable, the abuse went on, and yet nobody believed us until today.
We're washing altar linen. cassocks and stoles, and we're scrubbing long johns for the holy joys. And we know where they've been when they're not saving souls. What the red wine spills, the smooth hand pours. We're squeezing it out with the Magdalene laundry. We're scrubbing it down at the Magdalene laundry. Whoa!
The story began in 1993 when a campaigner, Patricia McDonnell, raised the issue. She set up the Magdalene Memorial Committee after reading a 1993 report about the exhumation of women buried near the Hyde Park Laundry in Drumcondra in Dublin. The Sisters of Our Lady of Charity were selling land to a developer and wanted the 133 remains removed to Glasnevin Cemetery. They found that there were 22 more unidentified remains. Now, Patricia McDonnell had a personal reason for becoming involved in the Magdalene issue. Her sister-in-law, Mary, spent 20 years at the Sister of Mercy's laundry in Dublin. Mary is 89 and in a West of Ireland nursing home. Mary came from a well-off farming background in Galway in the late 30s. Her parents died. Two of her brothers, who were 19 and 17 at the time, took over the farm while she looked after the house. The smaller children were sent to relatives. The local priest told Mary's brother he felt she was in moral danger. He knew a nice family in Dublin where she would be safer. Mary's brothers were not convinced, but the priest and his housekeeper persuaded them. The priest drove Mary to the laundry and asked her brothers not to contact her to allow her to settle in. Every time Mary's brothers inquired, the priest warned them off contacting her. Over time, they stopped asking. When Mary's younger brother reached 17, he went in search of her. He found Mary in the laundry in Dunleary. The first time he saw her, beside a robust nun, she looked like someone from Belsen. He threatened the nuns with legal action if Mary was not released. A time and date was set. When he arrived to pick up Mary, she was on her knees, scrubbing a floor. He asked a nun why this was the case. She replied, "Do you want us to have a riot? No one has ever left this place." In the late 90s, Mary and her husband decided to inquire about Mary's time at Dunleary. They contacted the Sisters of Mercy. They denied the laundry existence. And Mary said, even though it was there in her brother's directory. She rang Joe Duffy, which is a local talk show, and told a story. And it was inundated with calls from people confirming the laundry's existence. Contacted again, the Sisters of Mercy said they had no records from the laundry. More recently, they supplied the McDonald's with a copy of an electoral register which proved Mary had been in the laundry between 1951 and 1959. The Sisters were unable to provide the McAleese Committee with records for either of their two laundries. In 2002 and 2003, MacDonald sent letters to the then Minister for Education, Noel Dempsey, asking how Mary could have been detained and for so long. He assured her the laundry was a privately run institution over which the state had neither a supervisory nor regulatory role. Where Mary is concerned, compensation would mean nothing. She wants to know why they detained her. Over the years, then, is that other groups got going, and in the end is that they went to the United Nations. and they submitted a report claiming that the Irish state was complicit in the incarceration of women and girls in the laundries where the women worked without pay. It also said that the state dealt commercially with the laundries without inspecting them. The group says that while the laundries were in operation between 1992 and 1996, an estimated tens of thousands of women and girls were imprisoned, forced to carry out unpaid labour and subject to severe psychological and physical maltreatment. It also accused the government of failing to promptly and impartially investigate the allegations made against the laundries. The government told the committee that the government was not in a position to restore funding cuts from the Human Rights Commission and the Equality Authority because of the current economic situation. He said the government would work with the two bodies to help them work within their budget. As it is that the government did set up an inquiry with Martin McAleese, and he found that the state was complicit, did have a role, a regulatory role in the laundries. And this is why the Taoiseach in the Dáil made the first statement admitting that the state was involved. Now, of course, is the papers and the media are full of shock and horror about what was happening. I'll just read a few quotes from the newspaper. A cruel and pitiless Ireland. There seems to be much confusion over whether McAleese's report was an inquiry into what happened in Magdalen Laundries or an inquiry into whether state agencies were involved in the incarceration of girls and women in these institutions. The statistically low numbers of women who told of their experience to the McAleese team does not prove that the above findings are true or indeed valid. We now need a statutory inquiry into the experience of these women in these institutions with a wider numerical basis to enable a proper analysis of these women and their experiences. So I'll read you some more headlines of the newspapers. No need to. New redress scheme may not include all Magdalen Laundry. Average survivor could get €50,000. And the president and now has been appointed to undertake a 3-month review to assess the help that the minister can provide, not just in financial terms, but including areas such as medical cards, psychological and counselling services, and other welfare needs. So we will just have to wait and see what is going to happen. Irish society owes apology to Magdalen women. Central to the operation of these houses were the rules of silence, regarded as a necessary condition for the surveillance of good order. The wearing of drab and shapeless uniforms were obligatory to discourage vanity and improper thoughts. In some of these houses, women's hair were cropped. Visits from family or friends were discouraged. One of the first studies of Magdalen Ireland, Do Penance or Perish, by Francis Finnegan, even more exposed to a lifetime of penance than those who had entered the asylums voluntary, was that vast category of inmates, about 50% of the total, who were neither recommended nor entered the Good Shepherds of their own accord. These were brought to the institutions by priests, relatives or friends. But how unwilling or under what constraints they were kept in the homes will never be known. Many of the families were denied or disowned by their families, and to the outside world, they almost ceased to exist. Class distinction followed the nuns and the children from the outside society into the asylum laundries. Many of the nuns were from privileged backgrounds and had been cared for by servants before entering the order. The nuns were not accustomed to rough labour, nor in spite of their vows of poverty was it something they were required to perform. There was little social equality in such convents, and as in other orders, women of wealth and distinction had almost separate existence from the daughters of the poor. And so it goes on, the outrage of people. Nuns are the real abusers who must be accountable. It was the nuns who dictated the way the laundries were run. It was the nuns who shaved heads, locked inmates up, demanded silence, deprived girls of their names, worked them to a standstill, and gave them insufficient food. And it's the nuns who must be made accountable with regard to compensation and, where possible, the courts. State must apologize so that once the can of worms was open, now a lot of other groups have come in. And one of them is the home where Protestants were kept. The state must apologize for dire conditions of Bethany Home. And here is where the state is at the moment sticking its heels in. It is trying to make out it had nothing to do with the Protestants. So we now have a can of worms opened based on sectarianism. Because the church put the Protestant children into these homes, the state is terrified of becoming liable for claims from all the mother and baby homes. Now, that's a whole other area. And so at the moment, that we might say that the problem is going to be, and this is why it's very important about what has happened, which is about women's unpaid labor. The women were in the laundry working for nothing, for unpaid labor, for no wages. Now, when we consider the women all over the world who are also working in homes for unpaid labor, another area which has come up, and that is, once again on the Joe Duffy Show recently, is calls were coming in from New Zealand, Australia, America, so that the Irish nuns set up orders in Australia and New Zealand and also had Magdalen laundries. The same thing is happening in the United States. A friend of mine, her mother was in a Magdalen laundry in England. She had three children and was then put into the laundry and only came out of the laundry in 1956 when a family came and found her and rescued her. So whether all these other Magdalen laundries are going to be exposed about what is happening, whether the New Zealand government, the Australian government, the American government, I don't know whether it's happening in Canada, but it is going to make a big change in how unwaged labour is being treated. Now, the fact of the matter is it took 20 years for the government to actually recognise the gulags or the semi-concentration camps or the slaves who have been incarcerated in Ireland. And they only admitted it when, through the struggle of the women's groups, brought it to the United Nations. If the United Nations had not looked at what was happening and told the Irish government, you have to take responsibility, we still would not be any clearer. It would not be open, even though films have been made, songs have been written, because the core element of these women who were put in the laundries was their emerging of their sexuality, which was such a threat to the status quo. If you can imagine, you have a young girl in a village and she is an attractive young woman of 14, 15, the middle classes, that is the priests, the guardi, the teachers, the doctors. The one thing that they don't want are their middle class sons seduced by these wayward women. One of the women who was talking on the Joe Duffy Show, and she explained how she was put in. Her mother had died. She was living with her brothers. She was living with her father. And she broke the rules of the house. And that is that she went out one night. She went to a dance. That was sufficient. Into the laundry that she went. I was talking to a neighbour of mine last night. Everyone is talking about this. And there was a woman in our village, and she was put into the laundry. And she only came out of the laundry because a man was looking for a housekeeper. And so he went to the laundry, and this young woman was given to him as a housekeeper. So the women, when we talk about the Taliban, when we talk about Islam, when we talk about slave labour, to understand that in Ireland, the way that the middle classes were terrified of young women not in their class ensnaring their young men. And this is what happened. Now, the story is not over yet, because we have got a whole new crop of various incidents and imprisonments that will be coming up. Take the intellectually disabled, residents made to strip naked en masse for showers, cramped wards with little or no privacy. Teenagers with mental health problems. Each year, more than 100 children or teenagers are admitted to adult psychiatric wards. Children in state care. A report into the deaths of children in care found 112 young people in contact with the state's child protection system. Young asylum seekers. There are more than 500 children of asylum seekers in the direct provision system. Is many of these children have disappeared. Young people with special needs. So that at the moment, there is a kind of a glow that the state has acknowledged the fact that we did have concentration camps for wayward children. Are we now going to forget about it? Or are we going to transform our society so that the very rigid class system, where the middle classes, the upper classes, they can dictate who is acceptable in the state and who is not acceptable in the state? The government has set up a fund now for the women to be compensated for all the years that they were doing their unpaid labour. And the figures that have been talked about are 20,000 euro a year and 50,000 compensation. But once again, there's a little sting in the tail, because they have called it ex gratia payment scheme is to be established. And that says essentially a payment without admission of liability. From Radio Pirate Woman, goodbye. We're ending now with a song by Joni Mitchell, which she recorded in 1994. That's 20 years ago. Thank you, Joni.
I was an unmarried girl. I'd just turned 27. When they sent me to the sisters, for the way men looked at me. Branded as a Jezebel, I knew I was not bound for heaven. I'd be cast in shame into the Magdalene laundries. Most girls come here pregnant, some by their own fathers. Bridget got that belly by her parish priest. We're trying to get things white as snow, all of us woe-begotten daughters, in the steaming stains of the Magdalene.
Wings thanks Margareta Darcy of Radio Pirate Woman in Galway, Ireland, for this production about the Magdalene Laundries. To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local radio station, Suzette Cullen and Genevieve Vaughan, author of the book Forgiving, A Feminist Criticism of Exchange. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Attention, women in science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit SCWIST.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.